fullback belly.
Three tight ends, including Haydner. Kuhn is the fullback with the first and goal. Kuhn gets the ball. Pyle trying to get his way in for the touchdown. What a great second effort.
What is going on? It's your boy, the Wolf of Roto Street. RotoStreetJournal.com, we breed and feed you fantasy wolves here with your week 8 waiver wire stream. Let's dive right into a very interesting waiver wire. A general reminder before you look at this exact list, go check your waiver wire right now because there was tons of buys last week. And I'm just looking through my leagues before I got live here. Lots of players. Kirk Cousins, for example, getting dropped last week to fill those bye week holes. So there's going to be a lot of unexpected names on your waiver wires, maybe filtered by percent rostered, different things of that nature. So just check if there's been any interesting transactions that don't belong, names that shouldn't be on the waiver wire, because they might be out there for you in a week like this. So go check that out, Wolfpack, before you check out these names. Some that might be out there. For example, Tank Dell. I cannot believe people are cutting this kid. First check for him. In week 2, when he became the full-time starter, 20.2 PPR points. Follows that up with 25.5 PPR points. A dud the next week. I get it against Pittsburgh, 3.9 points. Yeah, that's annoying. But then after that, he had 6.8 in just a quarter of action. He was on pace for yet another 20-point day. That would be 3 20-plus point days in his first 4 starts. The kid's a stud. We know C.J. Stroud banged the table, wanted to make sure they got Tank Dell there because he loved working out with him at the combine so much. I'm a huge fan, and DeMichael Ryan's already saying he's likely back for week 8, and getting him back is quote-unquote huge for us. We can count on him for the big plays. Absolutely, Tank can get deep down the field. He gets open in the red zone. He gets such a great release at the line despite being so small, so just nimble and shifty, and love the kid. So Tank Dell, double check that he's out there. He would beat any of the 10 names we're about to discuss. No brainer for me. But also his teammate, Dalton Schultz. Maybe it's because they were both on bye this week. Seeing them dropped in a lot of leagues. His last 3 games, Dalton Schultz, he has been a top 6 tight end for all 3 of them. 13.2, 19.5, and 16.1 PPR points. Top 2 tight end that last week with those 16 points. So Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, check your Texans guys as a top 6 team in passing yards per game with 2 key cogs out there in a bunch of leagues. You definitely want to go see if they are out there for you. Now, Wolfpack, I also wanted to bring up just a couple quarterbacks before we dive in. They did not make my top 10 list just because a team week where there's no buys in week 8, plenty of room to have your usual starters in there. You don't necessarily need to buy these streamers, but maybe you have an injury or maybe you're sick of your QB1. So just want to toss a couple quick names at you. Gardner Minshew being the first one. He had 305 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns in addition to 2 rushing touchdowns. He also lost 3 fumbles, threw a pick. You know, it was the Gardner Minshew experience to the fullest, but over 25 fantasy points on the day against a phenomenal Cleveland Browns defense. So great stuff for Gardner Minshew. The schedule starts to soften up after their bye as well. So if you need someone for your stretch runs, he's not a bad play. Or maybe he can be a bridge. If you're desperate at quarterback, get Minshew and then maybe bridge it on over to Kyler Murray, still under 40% rostered. And he has been, his career low in points per game is 18.7. He has last 3 seasons, quarterback 6, 5, and 10 in fantasy points per game. When are you going to find a top 10 quarterback on your waiver wires? I know a lot of this is because of his mobility. Will that be the case given his injuries? We don't know for sure, but there is a small list of QBs ever available that have this type of track record. I mean, every single one of those seasons, he has at least 2 28 or higher fantasy point games. Huge ceiling for a guy that should not be out there in your leagues. If you're desperate for a waiver wire quarterback, those are the 2 guys to look at first. All righty, Wolfpack, we're going to dive into my top 10 guys going from 10 all the way to 1, talking about how much fab to spend, what to break down. If you don't mind hitting that thumbs up button early, it does really help us get out to more people. If you enjoy what you hear, please do consider hitting it. And if you're new, come on over, subscribe to the Wolfpack. We're climbing over to 4K and making great progress every single week. It means the world. Thank you again so much for joining me here for this stream. I always like to start with someone who's probably out there in your leagues. And this man qualifies, Jalin Hyatt, a hugely explosive athlete that is widely available at the moment. Let's talk about why 5% rostered. I think this number should at least double and maybe even triple by the end of this week, and I don't think it will. I know it's the Giants passing game, one of the fewest bottom three in terms of passing yards per game, but Hyatt has not been the big issue there. In fact, last week, 75 yards, hauls in two of his five targets, and now has gone for back-to-back weeks. So the 42-yarder, 33-yarder this week, and then the week before, that, you know, two 25-plus yard games. He joins a very elite list of A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Josh Palmer, Tyreek Hill, you know, pretty big names, Rashid Shaheed, maybe the lesser-known name there, but these are the only guys this year that have four or more plays of 25-plus air yards across that the entire season, and he's done it in 2 weeks right now, Jalin Hyatt. So love, love, love this kid. He is very intriguing talent. He has seen his route share and snap share go up by the week. Last 2 weeks, 30% and 55% of the air yards, just to go and show you, you know, 16.5 and 32.4. ADOT, average up the targets. The kid is so explosive, won the Bekenoff Award for the best receiver in college football last year. And this last week, second wide receiver snaps and routes behind only Darius Slayton, who just had two targets. And he was only behind Darren Waller in targets, was Jalin Hyatt this last week. So continuing to grow that role at the expense of Wandale, at the expense of Slayton. This kid is so explosive, the highlight player of training camp, according to many reports. So check out Jalin Hyatt before a true boom happens. This was, again, his season high with those 10 PPR points, wide receiver 35, but I think even more is coming soon. After Hyatt, you can look at Pierre Strong, just 1% rostered. I think he's worth about 2 to 4% of your fab. And if we get news that maybe Kareem Hunt could also be dinged up, this guy could be worth even more. First thing that comes to mind with Pierre Strong, speed. He has legitimately 99th percentile 4.37 40 speed. When you adjust that for his size, it's still in the 95th percentile for his weight-adjusted speed score. Also in the 80th percentile for burst, 75th percentile for agility. The kid is an athletic freak there, despite playing smaller school ball there at South Dakota State. He tore it up. And what I'm really intrigued about by Pierre Strong, he was graded by PFF as one of the best zone runners in the entire class, in particular at the outside zone, because his ability to really accelerate and hit that top end speed very fast, cut in and go, see the hole. And we saw that as a Patriots fan. I watched the kid play a couple times last year. He only had two games, in fact, with over 23% of the snaps, seven touches in both of them. One of those games he went for 17 fantasy points was the running back 12, breaking tackles, ripping his speed down the field. The other game he had 6.7 points, just the running back 41 on his seven touches, but an adept receiver, solid there. In this last game, you know, we know Ford's going to miss that at least 1 week, potentially even two. And could Strong be the lead guy? I imagine it's going to be Hunt. I think Hunt starts. He's the reliable body. He certainly was getting all the goal line work as well. But Pierre Strong ended up playing after just three snaps through the first three quarters. He ended up becoming the dominant guy in the fourth quarter, playing 17 of the 28 snaps. That was 63% compared to just 34% for Kareem Hunt. He had eight carries in that quarter compared to just five for Kareem Hunt. They did turn the keys over to Pierre Strong, who they made sure to go out and trade for. Middle-of-the-road matchup against Seattle this week, but Arizona coming up in Week 9 if this injury lingers for Jerome Ford. What if Hunt's, you know, banged-up thigh bruise, what if that swells up? What if he gets more dinged up this week? So Pierre Strong, after being second on the team in carries and snaps this last week, an intriguing running back. We've seen backups dominate in the Stefanski zone scheme before. Definitely go and check him out. Turning our attention now, very rare that we find useful tight ends on the waiver wire, but especially multiple of them. Whew, let's dive into Taysom Hill, Trey McBride. And then also, I'm going to jump ahead to my number two pickup of the week. I won't make you guys wait. You probably already know who it is since I'm talking about tight ends. But let's dive into these first two first, who are more likely to be out there in your league. Starting with Taysom Hill, my preferred option here, but Trey McBride, very intriguing too. Taysom, the tight end six in back-to-back weeks, 12.1 points in week six, and then another whopping 16.8 points this last week in week 17. He saw eight targets in week six, was actually used as a legitimate wide receiver, hauled in seven of those for 49 yards. And then last week, target share went down a little bit, five targets, but still, you know, second career high day. Eight was a career high the week before, four catches, 50 yards. But then what we know Taysom to do, 18 rush yards and a touchdown on his five attempts, 10 opportunities last week, 9 opportunities the week before that. You don't get this type of volume at tight end very often, certainly not on your waiver wire. Don't forget last year, we had a 34.1 point day out of Taysomville, the tight end one. He was the tight end 3 in fantasy last year, despite being, seeing 10 targets on the season. So now that we're actually getting a receiving role mixed in with the rushing upside of Taysom Hill, when you're desperate at this position, and almost everybody is if you're not starting a top 4 guy at this point, why not throw out a guy that has that 25-point ceiling, but also now a more safe baked-in floor? I mean, even last year, he did have 7 games with 10-plus PPR points. Nearly half the time, he was an okay guy for you, and we're starting to see him steady out here with that increased receiving usage. So I really like adding Taysom Hill at this point. I do get, no Juwan Johnson these past couple of weeks. That certainly has helped him break out and get more receiving usage. That could just evaporate. There's a risk of that. That's why he's not higher on my list here, Taysom Hill. But if he just continues, he's really looked good with it. He's been great after the catch. I could see Taysom Hill maintaining that role. And then Trey McBride, the big news coming out today that Zach Ertz is on the IR, going to miss at least 4 weeks. And I imagine by then he'll be traded out of Arizona. But at minimum, we got the chance for Trey McBride to showcase what he can do. 89th and 85th percentile in terms of his 40 speed. And then you adjust that for his size. Boom. Monster athlete. He dominated at an insane rate. You don't ever see this for a tight end in college. 46.3% dominator rating, which accounts for yards, catches, touchdowns, total offense of the team. He had nearly 50% of the passing game there at Colorado State, 99th percentile among tight ends. 90 catches, 1,121 yards in college. So you know the kid can do it as a receiver. He can be a genuine alpha number one guy. We don't see that from tight ends very often. That's the reason he was the number one tight end in the 2022 class just a season ago. Hyper athletic and really just deadly after the catch too. Moves unfairly for a guy of his size. If anybody watched last week's game, you saw that hurdle where he leaped over a defender. Amazing stuff there. And even with Ertz on the field, we've now seen back-to-back weeks of McBride outperforming him. 5 targets, 4 catches, and 62 yards, compared to just 2 catches and 22 yards on Ertz's 5 targets. And then last week, 6 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. Not a huge day by any means, but Zach Ertz even worse. 19 yards on 3 catches. And the good news is, again, we don't have to even worry about Zach Ertz. Carly Murray, due back, and not next week, but probably the week after that. We already saw that Trey McBride has a huge ceiling with him. 10 targets, 7 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown to close out last year, a 20.8 fantasy point day in your PPR leagues. So we know the ceiling's there. He's flashed it before. Now we'll have that every down role. I love it. I absolutely love this. And, John Gannon wants to use him similar to a Dallas Goedert role they talked about all preseason. Very excited to see what Trey McBride can do with the keys finally turned over to him. Both of those tight ends, I say 3 to 6%, but man, if you're really needy at tight end, don't be shy. Bid $10. Bid 15% if you really, really desperately need a tight end. Both these guys have legitimate top 10 upside, maybe even top 8. Taysom Hill tight end 6 for back-to-back weeks, and we've seen Trey McBride be a top 3 tight end for glimpses. Very excited to see what these two tight ends do. But I also wanted to highlight my number 2 guy on the waiver wire pickup. Certainly, if he's out there, Mr. Dalton Kincaid, go after him before either of those two. As much as I like them, you got to. If he's somehow out there in your league, Dalton Kincaid, I think a 30-35% of your fab type of bid here. Let's dive in to why. Well, a college prospect, 90th percentile production profile, nearly 80th percentile athleticism profile, according to Next Gen Stats, making him an elite prospect. The highest draft score, 88. In a historically good tight end class. You're seeing what Laporta's doing. Michael Mayer having some solid games. Dalton Kincaid got graded out better than any of them by both production and athleticism. And it's easy to see why. 6'5", beastly basketball player, huge rebounding profile, and he has a 75th percentile 40 score, 74th percentile speed score. When you adjust that for the fact that he's a 260-pound, 6'5" behemoth, you got to love Dalton Kincaid just in terms of his raw abilities. But now you finally see the usage come up at the NFL level. 8 catches on his 8 targets. Those 8 targets were second on the team behind only Stephon Diggs this last week. 75 yards, led the team in catches and yards this last week. So great stuff there for Dalton Kincaid production-wise. And I think this is only going to continue. The coach after the game saying, We need to do more of this, is what the coach says after. It looked like he had more targets over the middle of the field, defense and Zan. It was very exciting to see. We've got to continue to do that. And don't forget that their GM, Brandon Bean, compared Dalton Kincaid to Cole Beasley coming out. Beasley averaged 108 targets and 77 catches over his games there with the Bills. So ultimately, great stuff here for Dalton Kincaid. Huge breakout game. I mean, I love reading just what Dan Brugler had to say about the kid. With a basketball background, Kincaid has fluid movement skills, flashes the short area quickness to open stride and accelerate in and out of his breaks. Natural ball winner, shows confidence in his hands, doing most of his damage when catching the ball. A remarkable 35-4 touchdown to drop ratio in college. Above average pass catcher with burst, body control, and ball skills to be a weapon in the slot. And that's, again, what we're getting at when he could be that big-bodied Cole Beasley-style player in this explosive offense. Oh, I forgot to mention, Dawson Knox is now also going to be out with a wrist surgery at this point. So Dalton Kincaid, huge, huge upside here for the rest of season tight end rankings, guys. Definitely check that out. Now, moving forward, and I first got to pull up NC Firearms Super Chat for us. Thank you so much for the support. You always get to cut the line. I just saw your comment pop up, so thank you so much. Should you trade Ridley for D. Johnson? Deontay Johnson is who I imagine you're talking about. Very tough call. I think Ridley does have the bigger ceiling. He shows those glimpses of being that true alpha. I know Christian Kirk, the steadier option here. That's a really tricky one. I would lean, I think, Ridley, but it's really, really close. When it's this close, I probably don't throw off the team chemistry and go after it. But hey, if you're sick of Ridley, especially if this is a PPR league, I could see Deontay looked really good in that first game back. We know the role will be a little bit more consistent. If that's what you're looking for, just something that can get you those steady 8 to 15 points every single week, you're going to get that from Deontay. Whereas Ridley, he's going to have your busts that make you want to rip your hair out, but he's going to win you weeks with 30 points. So it really depends on how your team is composed. I kind of like those weak winning type of boom guys that I can balance out with safer guys. But if you want just safety, yeah, it's not an unfair deal by any means. You could totally go for it. Really just depends on what your team needs, NC Firearms. Let me know if that helps you out if you want some more context on any of that. And again, Wolfpack, please do consider that thumbs up button. Only about 12, 15 of you here right now. We usually have 30, 40 for us waiver wire show. I know I got a little late start. So please help your boy out, share, like, retweet, all that good stuff. It really, really does go such a long way and helps the Wolfpack grow as we try to help you guys out here with all your fantasy needs. All right, that covers up our tight end position. I know I jumped ahead there for the number two guy. So I'm going to backtrack and now go to my number seven pickup of the week. And that is Kendrick Bourne. Got dropped in a ton of leagues after a strong start to the year. Hadn't done much, and then boom, back-to-back weeks, wide receiver 9 and wide receiver 10, 19 and 18 fantasy points in that span. 91% or higher route share in 3 straight games. That was after 59, 73, and 55% of the routes in the previous. He's become Kendrick Bourne an every down player and led the team in targets all 3 of those weeks, 20, 33, and 24% target share across that span. Tons of these design yak looks and screens and great stuff, making some things really happen after the catch. He gets plenty of red zone looks as well. It seems like his offense could start be clicking into place. I don't want to jinx it as a Pats fan, but if so, a big reason for it is Kendrick Bourne. He's always had phenomenal chemistry with Mac Jones, looks to him on broken plays, the red zone. Also, Devontae Parker, where the hell is he? 50% or less snaps this last week. Dramatic drop from him. So very clear role. Be interesting to see what happens when Juju comes back. But he already was playing the third fewest snaps and probably won't even come in over an honorable mention here. DeMario Douglas, Pop Douglas. Love the kid. Great athlete. Got tons of good hype coming out of training camp. And he now ran a season-high 76% of the routes, second on the team with a 17% target share, 11 fantasy points. Just a solid overall day for DeMario Douglas. Was a preseason, again, hype machine. They called him Pop for all the zip he was bringing. And you saw it. If you watched that game against the Bills, kid was flying all over the place, getting open, looking like that great next slot weapon, the great little discovery. If the Pats can do anything right, it's ultimately finding those guys. He definitely passes the eyeball test. He's making great grabs over the middle. Dangerous, fearless type of guy. Big fan of DeMario Douglas in those deeper leagues. First, of course, Kendrick Bourne, the true alpha here. Definitely looking for him, and I would bid 10, 12% if you need a wide receiver to go get Kendrick Bourne. I do think this offense might be finding its footing finally, but DeMario Douglas also an intriguing option on this squad. Moving to some running backs to consider. Highlighted him last week. Going to make sure to do it again. Devin Singletary, only 15% rostered right now, and he might be the Texans' running back one at this point. Played 52% of the snaps compared to 35% for Pierce, 50% of the routes compared to 23, 58 rush yards compared to just 34 for Pierce, and 4.83 yards per carry compared to 2.6 yards per carry for Pierce in their last game out in week 5 before this bye. I can't believe he's not more rostered at this point. It probably was because of the bye week blues and people just didn't have the space for him. But you're talking about a guy that could be entering an offense that's top 10 in yards, right on the fringe of top 10 in total points, seems to be finding their groove. The offensive line is finally getting healthy. It was supposed to be a major strength this season, and then they had a bunch of injuries they were dealing with. I really would not be shocked at all if they come out of the bye and Singletary is starting and at minimum seeing the majority of the work. That's what happened before the bye happened, and he outplayed him. And it really also plays into the fact how bad Dameon Pierce has been. Averaging last week 2.6 yards per carry, but on the season it has been abysmal. Under 3.5 yards per carry, 2.9, actually under 3 yards per pop on the season, has not averaged more than 3.5 yards per carry in a single game so far. He hasn't rushed for over 90 yards in a single game. It's been abysmal. All the tackle breaking, churning, all those numbers so far down. 2.25 yards after contact per attempt. He averaged 3.29 last year. So Dameon Pierce, huge plummet down. Whereas Devin Singletary, the one guy was handpicked by this regime, not inherited like Dameon Pierce, could see they finally turned the keys over. And you're getting a lead back and a great offense to at this point of the year. That's what gold is made out of. So definitely go check out Devin Singletary. Anywhere from 12 to 20% fab is what I'd spend on him. But if you need an immediate plug and play, and part of my philosophy of this week is you got all your teams at your disposal. No bye weeks this week, so you probably don't necessarily need a dominant starter off your waiver wire. But if you do, Darrell Henderson is certainly going to be that best plug right into your lineup play. I do have a couple running backs we'll talk about momentarily above Darrell Henderson, but Henderson is more usable than any of them. So if you just want a plug-and-play starter at your running back position, here's your number one guy, and that's Darrell Henderson. He ultimately saw 18 of the 31 running back carries, 58% of the snaps, 38% of the routes, and 8% target share. Walked right into the 1A role of this backfield. The only other running back to touch the field was the god-awful Royce Freeman. 42% of the snaps, 40% of the rush attempts, 22% of the routes, but zero targets. Henderson got the goal line look, converted for a touchdown. He also got two targets compared to no targets or TDs for Royce Freeman. And we already, I called this one. I'll have to pat myself on the back a little bit for this one. I wrote about Zach Evans and how he was fool's gold. And especially after they signed Darrell Henderson, and they said, the familiarity. I've always loved working with Darrell. Smart, conscientious. He's always been very productive whenever he's played as a runner, pass catcher, never been afraid to stick his face on people in protection. And that was the big thing. He was a phenomenal pass protector for years, and he walked right in, and you saw pancake block, Matt Stafford throw. That's going to keep him in there every single down, potentially. I talked about him being the dark horse to be that light Kendrick Kyren Williams in this absence of him. He's got another 3 games he's going to be out, and I think Darrell Henderson might only see his workload go up because, yeah, Freeman, the only other running back to play, and he was okay in this game. Got, I believe, 6 fantasy points on the day, but ultimately – 3.0, 2.9 yards per carry the past couple years, 35, 56, and 41 carries in that span. Just nothing special at all here for Royce Freeman. So I wouldn't be shocked if they just decide, let's just have, give Darrell Henderson the, Kyren Williams role, which was the running back four in fantasy for that span. More valuable workload than even Christian McCaffrey on the season. I don't know that we'll get Henderson to get that much, but I could see this continuing to go in his favor. The only other guy I did want to shout out, though, was Myles Gaskin, 1% rostered. For those of you in those deeper leagues, I actually have always been kind of a Myles Gaskin guy. Just 2 seasons ago, he was the running back 12 in fantasy points per game, had an impressive 972 yards, 5 touchdowns in just 10 games, good for 16.8 points per contest, racking up 41 and 49 catches across two seasons while he was the featured back. So he's got that three down skill set too. It's a healthy scratch this week while he learns the playbook, but McVay already saying he expects him to be activated. So if you're looking for a really, really deep stash, maybe check out Miles Gaskin here, but Darrell Henderson, definitely the preferred option. And again, if you need an immediate starter above all the rest of the guys on this list, the only reason he's just fifth is because it's about a 2 to 3 week rental at this point, but still a very good solid 2 to 3 week rental if that's what you're looking for. But a running back I have above him, two guys that are a week where you might not need a waiver wire replacement running backs, because again, every single team is playing in week 8, so maybe an upside stash is more what you need. I certainly, that's what I'm looking at. And Zach Charbonnet getting dropped in a ton of leagues after being ruled out last week. This kid is so much upside. He should never be on waiver wires. I get he was just an active player last week, but just think, this was a true three down threat in college with great, great talent. He flashed all preseason. Pete Carroll raved about him. And Ken Walker, I get it. He's not going to, Charbonnet's going to be nothing if Ken Walker doesn't go down. He's the half PPR running back 6 right now, though, because of such a valuable role, averaging 16.5 fantasy points per game, 4th in red zone touches, 5th in total carries, 10th in opportunity share at 70%, whopping 70% of the opportunities going to Ken Walker, 8th in rushing yards, 6th in total touchdowns. This is an invaluable running back 1 role, and this is one of those rare situations that the backup isn't that much of a step behind talent-wise. Usually when you get in these handcuffs, like, whatever. I'll bet on an offense, sure, and decent volume in it, fine. But you're actually getting a talented back in Zach Charbonnet should he ever be stepping up. So I believe he is one of the top 3 handcuffs in all of fantasy football. We know Ken Walker, he dealt with a groin injury all preseason. He had injury issues all last year and oftentimes through his college career as well. So Zach Charbonnet definitely needs to be on rosters. Check for him. But another guy, familiar man on this list, you're all probably guessing him already, Tajay Spears, 42% rostered, got dropped during the bye week by a ton of people in crunch situations, though, where they couldn't hang on to the bench space for Tajay Spears, and I think that's going to go down as a grave mistake. He's played 50% or more snaps in 5 of 6 weeks, so unlike Charbonnet, he actually has a role, Tajay Spears, on game days, and it's been mildly productive, 9, 17, and 7 PPR points across his last 3 games. Last time out, had a 48-yard explosive catch, 50% or more of the snaps in 5 of 6 games, 63 or more yards from scrimmage in back-to-back weeks, including 2 weeks ago, 69 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown on 11 touches, 4 catches on 5 targets, 19-yard touchdown through the air as well, compared to 16 touches and 62 scoreless yards for Derrick Henry. He's a very explosive Tajay Spears runner and receiver. He has actually as many 10-plus yard runs as Derrick Henry does, despite a third of the carries so far. He's averaging 2 more yards a carry than Derrick Henry on the season. And there's already rumblings right now that Derrick Henry, the team might be open to trading him. Baltimore Ravens, come call, and that would be very interesting. But either way, 1,800 carry cliff, approaching 30. It could break down. It could get traded. They might just decide we're going to the future at this point and turn the keys over. I imagine Tajay Spears will be making some starts, again, whether injury, trade, or otherwise effectiveness related. I think we're going to get some starts from Tajay Spears, and he's going to prove to be a league winner when he gets those. All righty, Wolfpack. We already talked about my number 2 guy, Dalton Kincaid, while reviewing the tight ends. So this does bring us to the drum roll. Number 1 pickup of the week. Before we get there again, Wolfpack, about 20 of you here. Love to see it, but would love to see some more. Get those questions on in. One more call for that thumbs up button for any new subscribers. We'd love to have you continue to make this worthwhile. It takes so much time to freaking prepare these things and get all these notes and talk about this. So if we can't only get, 5 likes on it and 60 people here, what do we need to do it? Come on, please help your boy out. I love doing this. I love helping you guys out. Please do share it out. Help me grow, though, because otherwise it's going to be tough to keep doing this on Tuesdays every night. It's an absolute grind and crunch every single day. So please do help your guy out. All righty, guys. Last call here. And the number 1 pickup of week 8 is definitely, absolutely Josh Downs. It was my number 5 pickup last week. Should have had him higher. But man, after a 5-catch, 125-yard touchdown explosion, huge day for Josh Downs, career high across the board in terms of fantasy points, yards, big touchdown. He now has 13 or more fantasy points in four straight games with Gardner Minshew as his primary quarterback. 7.7, 13.7, 15.7, 13.1, and then 23.5 fantasy points with Minshew as his main QB. Compare that to his two lowest outputs of the year, 5.4 and 6, with Anthony Richardson. And it's clear to see this is one of Minshew's favorite guys. He's playing almost exclusively the slot, and Minshew loves just peppering those high percentage throws. The schedule, top 8 for receivers for the rest of the season as well. We know Josh Downs can get it done at this point. Reggie Wayne called him the best receiver in this class. He's making good on his promise to continue to pepper him. And Michael Pittman even getting upset with how much Josh Downs is getting used at his expense at this point. But at the end of the day, we're going to keep on keeping on. Over 20% target share now in every single game with Gardner Minshew, right at around 26% total on the year in his games with Gardner Minshew, compared to just 12.9% in his games with Anthony Richardson. And as we know, Anthony Richardson now moved to the IR for the year. He is done, and it's going to be the Gardner Minshew show. So I think Josh Downs, a every week wide receiver too. You don't often find those on your waiver wire. So 35% if you're desperate for a starter, maybe even more. I think this is going to be consistent, steady. It already has been all year. I don't see any reason for that to change. So go definitely check out Josh Downs on your waiver wire. The only other thing I wanted to mention, Wolfpack, I didn't even make a banner for it, but some of you might be asking, Amari DeMarcado, what about him, Wolfie? You dominated 79% of the snaps this last week. A Kyren Williams-style role, 54% of the carries, 64% of the routes. You know, solid target share, 16%. Not bad for DeMarcado. I think he's waiver wire full gold, though. You know, we got Connor Due back in two games, and now he's got Baltimore, Cleveland, and if it lingers for even another one, Atlanta, actually the best run defense out of all those teams. So all three of those bottom eight matchups for Amari DeMarcado. And just as quickly as Keontae Ingram came, he went. Who knows if they just want to go turn the keys over to him again. I don't trust Amari DeMarcado at all. So if you have any questions on him, he's my fool's gold. Zach Evans was my fool's gold last week, but kind of on money nailing those ones. So just be wary of spending too much on Amari DeMarcado there. I did also want to shout out too, if you play with kickers, Dustin Hopkins, averaging 19.5 fantasy points in his last two games, 22 and 17 points in that span. He's got 12 plus in four of his six games. He's got a 50-yarder in five straight games. It's an NFL record. So Dustin Hopkins at kicker if you need it. We'll wrap up with my finding the banner here. Here it is. Thank you for your patience, Wolfpack. Top 8. Here we go, Wolfpack. My top week 8 defensive streamers. Talking about first, Miami, 49%. So decent chance they're gone in your league, but they were facing the Eagles last week. So most leagues, you don't want to carry two defenses. There's a chance they're out there for you. The Patriots have allowed the second most points to defenses on the year. I know last week against Buffalo, they bucked the trend. You know, only 2 points allowed to Buffalo here. But 27, 24, and 9 points surrendered to Dallas, New Orleans, and Vegas before that. And despite losing 31-17 against Philly on Sunday night, Miami put up 12 fantasy points, 3 sacks, a fumble, a pick six. They've averaged 9 fantasy points per game in the last 3 weeks, racking up 14 sacks towards the NFL high in that list. And speaking of sacks, the Patriots are among the most generous teams to sacks. This offensive line is atrocious. Jalen Ramsey expected back this week as well, so this defense could get even better right on time to destroy the New England Patriots at home. They're definitely my number one stream of the week, but the Texans, much more likely to be out there for you, only 4% rostered right now. They've got 13, 12, 4, and 10 points in their last four games. 3 out of 4 double digits, 10 PPR points per game in the last four-week span there. They protect the ball. Ultimately, not too bad. They're facing the Panthers is the real punchline. You're one of the worst offenses in the league. Bottom three in total scoring. And they're okay at protecting the ball. 8 giveaways is just 18th in the NFL. Bryce Young's done okay that, but he's also averaging under 6 yards per attempt, one of the least explosive teams in the league. And yes, Houston, not great with sacks, just 9 on the year, but 30th ranked offensive line by PFF. Good time for them to get right there. They have a decent D-line. I think this is going to be a smashing by the Texans. And if you miss on them, I really do like Jacksonville. They're shockingly fifth in the league in fantasy points through 7 weeks, leading the NFL with 16 takeaways right now. This is a very opportunistic, strong defense against a mediocre at best Pittsburgh team. 21 fantasy points across their last two games, the Jacksonville Jags. Pickett averaging a pick and nearly three sacks per game right now. So a good spot for a very good defense, very surprisingly high turnover rate defense here. And then last is my Atlanta Falcons there, 13% rostered, likely to be facing Malik Willis or Will Levis. A great, great opportunity for this defense. Baltimore accrued 11 points against them last time against Malik Willis. 12th most points allowed on the year. Half of their games, the Titans have given up 10 or more fantasy points, and that was with their starting quarterback, a really bad offensive line, and Falcons fresh off an 11.3 sack, two turnover, only allowed 13 points to a previously solid Bucs team. They also make a really good stream. Another good week in general for streamers, because there's even four or five other teams you could consider. But again, Miami, Texans, Falcons, and the Jacksonville Jags, my top four options, in my opinion. Wolfpack, that wraps up my top 10 week 8 waiver wire pickups. Thank you again so much for being here. Let me dive now into your comments, your questions, all that. Please do consider again that thumbs up button. Like I was saying, if this is all we're going to get on a Tuesday, you guys can't help us share this out, grow it, continue to have the pack. I know I sound whiny, but it's so hard. There's only so much time. I'm working multiple jobs right now, trying to save for a house. If we can't get more than this, it's going to be tough to keep justifying going forward. We love you all. Thank you so much for you, those of you that showed up. Please continue to try to help us grow and keep getting the pack going, Wolfpack. Hey, Wolf, hope all is well. Thank you, Nicola. Hope all is well with you. Debating getting rid of Jeff Wilson for Tajay? Yeah, I wouldn't hate that move. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Miami. I do think Wilson has a lot of touchdown equity. But yes, the idea that Henry could get traded, I think this is absolutely a good play. I personally would rather have Tajay than Jeff Wilson rest of the season. This is a good one. JSN versus Josh Downs. I do lean JSN there, though. I got to side with the talent. We finally saw him break out. I'm going to keep banking on that, then building on that breakout. Lomi, what's up? Got a lot of guys on the chopping block. One name the hesitant is Keaton Mitchell. Nah, I'm done with Keaton. The injuries keep popping up over and over again. I don't think he's a hold. He had that one little touch. Ooh, Keaton Mitchell, look at that juice. And he got hurt. You know, I'm done. I cut him where I have him. So I think you can get rid of him. But, I mean, not if it's Chase Edmonds. You know, I do have interest, as we talked about, in DeMario Douglas. I do think he is the better pickup of those other two options in Mingo and Brandon Powell, Lomi. We talked about DeMario Douglas, a love pop. I think he's solid. Cleveland's close to set and forget, Lomi. Are they a set and forget defense, you ask? Yeah, I think they are. It's tough to – I never like to carry two defenses. I don't really want to cut them, and their playoff schedule is gold. So, I think you just kind of ride them out. They're a solid, solid unit. They did just give up all those points to Minshew, though, so they're not impeccable. And last one, thoughts on Akers. Could he eventually split with Madison? Absolutely. You saw that Monday night game. He was ultimately taken over that backfield by the end of it. That's actually a really good one to toss out there. I don't know what his ownership is right now because he probably would have ranked top 10 minimum for me here. Let me just check what Akers is. If he must be out there. If he was lower owned, I would have probably added him to this list. Let me just check real quick, though, because he had some juice. This is a good offense. He might have been cast, though. He's 49% rostered. So, yeah, he's not out there in a ton of leagues. But honestly, among this list that I have, I'd probably rank him ahead of Singletary right after Daryl Henderson. So, like 5-6 pickup of the week, Cam Akers. If he's out there in your league, yeah, well worth checking in and seeing how he's doing. Would you drop Osborne or Samuel for Downs and half PPR? Asked David Campanelli. I'd drop either, honestly. I'd probably drop Curtis Samuel first. More intrigued by Osborne. But, yeah, I would drop either of those for Josh Downs. I have Purdy, but I think I need to get better. Purdy's fine. Those two picks really hurt him, but still had a good game. I don't think Dak or Minshew are going to be anything better than Purdy. What are they doing, man? Like, what do we think that, David Campanelli? You could drop, you know, Gaskin. I don't think he's a must-hold by any means. So, yeah, if you want to add Dak for Gaskin or Minshew if you're feeling it, either of them are fine. And I probably would. But, you know, I don't think either of them are better than Purdy either, Campanelli. Paul Scaffarello, you're the man, Wolf. Thank you, brother. You're the man. Pick up Donta Foreman. Yeah, Donta Foreman's out there? Absolutely. 30-point day this last week. Yeah, absolutely. You got to go for Donta Foreman. He's who I prefer over Herbert. Thomas Medina, buenos noches. Buenos noches to Panama, my man. Great to see you. Traded D-Hop and Javonte for T. Higgins. It should be a win, rushing yard. If T, especially coming out of the bye, it makes sense as a certainly a bye low, fresh out of the bye. Easiest schedule down the stretch, including a great playoff schedule. I'm just worried. We haven't seen it from Higgins once this year. Like, there has not been a single glimpse of promise, and that worries me. It does. So I can't say with certainty you won this. I don't care for D-Hop at all. It's more so I'm worried, like, Javonte's starting to come into his own. He looks better and better by the week, getting more and more work by the week. So I can't give you a clear W here. Probably T should be the best player of the deal, but he's kind of on that until I see it list at this point, which I know doesn't usually work out for buying low, but right now I don't buy him. Patriots wave Cunningham. Yeah, man, I liked Cunningham tunes. Yeah, that's annoying. I didn't know that. I think he'll come back to the practice squad. We'll see. Jerome Ford thinking of picking up strong. Jada Bull. Notice he had quite a bit. Yeah, we talked about that. You know, he had more snaps, more touches than Hunt in the fourth quarter. Absolutely worth the pickup. And another guy is Rico Dowdle. I'd rather have Pierre Strong, especially if you need to fill someone in for Jerome Ford. Gotten here late. Is Akers worth a stash? Yeah, I think absolutely Daniel Howland. Like I said, I didn't have him on my list. I didn't realize he was only 49% rostered. He would have been worst at six on my list tonight. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Keep up the great content. Running back Keaton Mitchell? Nah, I don't think so. Like I said, you know, one touch and injured. It just feels like fool's gold. I don't think he's ever going to get in there, Joe. Magic Mike and Wolf, we trust. Thanks, brother. Would you drop Sanders for any of those on the list? Yeah, I have no problem dropping Sanders for Downs, Spears, Kincaid, maybe Charbonnet, you know, Henderson, honestly. Sanders sucks. I wouldn't be shocked at all if this is Chuba's backfield moving forward. Giuseppe, trade Kittle and Daddy Davis for David Monty. Yeah, I think I would. Because I know you have a good tight end, right? Like behind him, Giuseppe. And I would do the David Montgomery one, not the James. I don't want James Conner. So I would go for David Monty. Great schedule down the stretch. You know, what a monster he was before getting hurt. Have KC in Seattle. Which one do you drop for Kincaid? Asks Tunes. I don't know. Their defenses. Who gives a shit? Who are you playing this week? Use them. I think Seattle has a good matchup this week, right, against Cleveland. So drop Kansas City. They're facing the Broncos. They have a good matchup too. I don't know, Kitoots, whichever one you're feeling. I forget who I have higher in my rankings. They're both in good spots. KC did have like 14 points against them last week, but I mean, we might get in PJ Walker there for Seattle. I'd probably drop Kansas City, but either one, honestly, just whoever you're feeling there. Giuseppe, lost A-Rich and Geno and Carr. Should I drop one for Russell or Dobbs? Nah, I'd probably rather have Geno and Carr. I mean, if you're going to drop one, it'd be Carr for Russell, but I'd probably just keep him. He's cooking these last couple of weeks in terms of yardage. Levis or Willis, better dynasty. That's definitely Will. I would go Will Levis there, Giuseppe. I think they have a much more long-term investment in him. Drop Musgrave or Pitts for Taysom Hill? I would drop Musgrave there, Giuseppe. I this is the dynasty league, though. Then it starts to get trickier because I do like Musgrave longer term more than Taysom. But if you need a starter, yeah, Taysom Hill makes sense. Don't drop Pitts in dynasty ever. Cam Akers or Strong Jr.? Definitely Cam Akers. I would go Cam Akers as a stash. If you need to start someone this week, it's probably Strong. But if it's one or the other for a roster spot, I'd like Cam Akers for sure. Looks like he's going to start taking over the back solid offense. In a full PPR dynasty league, traded Kamara, Christian Watson for Andrews, Michael Wilson, and looks like an early to mid second. I think, especially, depends on how early that second is, but yeah, I like this. I mean, Christian Watson's looking awfully fraud-like. And Kamara, as good as he is right now, there's only a few more years on that. Similar to Andrews, though, how many more years does he have? I think you win, Dunes. I do. I'd give you the win there. Thanks, Wolf. Chug a beer on Saturday for Jada Bull. Happy 40th in advance if I don't see you on Thursday's show. Absolutely. I will put one back for you. I'm doing a bar crawl actually on Saturday. They're doing the infamous Beverly Four Breweries. They have a fall crawl, and that's this Saturday. So perfect timing, Jada Bull. Happy 40th birthday. Welcome to that new decade, man. I hope you absolutely crush it and have a phenomenal Saturday. What are your plans? How are you celebrating? That's awesome stuff, Jada Bull. Maybe I'll see you on Thursday. We can really wish you, I'll chug one for you on Thursday in kindred spirits if you're there with us, and remind me that you're there. I'll know it's your birthday if you show up, though. So come on to the Thursday stream if you're around, Jada Bull. Thank you, Tunes. You have a great night, too, man. Appreciate all your help always, brother. You're the best. Is Dynasty still the best? Probably not there, Giuseppe. If it's Dynasty, Musgrave for Hill. But if you need him to start, if you need an immediate starter, yeah, probably. Costume party. Hell yeah, man. Let's go. Great stuff. Happy for you. That's going to be a good way to ring it in. Wolfpack, thank you so much for being here. On your way out, that thumbs up button would greatly help us. More subs. This is definitely one of the later intended waiver wire shows. Maybe people are getting bounced in leagues. You're not caring as much. It was my late start. I'll definitely keep at it. But if I, we'd love to keep it growing, Wolfpack. So please do consider sharing us out, helping your boy get out there to more people. We're trying to climb to that 4K subs. You can find all our content at RoadStreetJournal.com, my rankings, and everybody's write-ups. It's all great stuff. In a world for fancy sheep, guys, be the wolf. Later.
We used to have it all, but now's our curtain call. So hold for the applause. Oh, 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 oh. And wave out to the crowd and take our final bow. Oh, it's our time to go. But at least we stole the show. 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 At least we stole the show.
Second effort, third effort, touchdown. Oh. That's pretty awesome. That's old-fashioned football right there, folks.